Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. Melchester Odyssey. I have in my left hand, if you're creating a mental image, the 12th of March 1983 issue of Roy of the Rovers. It promises 8 great picture stories. It promises Alex McLeish and Glenn Hoddle in
colour. What a
two
pair.
Two players who would go on to become two of the finest managers in subsequent decades.
Alex McLeish always struck me as a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But things didn't quite work out for... Where did he manage? He managed Aston Villa and Birmingham City.
He managed Aston Villa and Birmingham City, which is...
Rare.
Not to be sniffed at.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a liberty. It's what you call a George Graham situation.
Exactly that. His nickname as well was Big Eck.
Yeah, and you know what? He was, I mean, this might be widely known, it probably is, but he was a film buff.
Was he?
His greatest passion outside of football was cinema.
The cinema.
Yes.
Not films, not movies, the cinema.
The silver screen. Is what he loved. And yeah, he knew his stuff too.
Of the silver screen.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
I am a big...
Very good, didn't know that.
Big fan of the work of Ingmar Bergman.
And also The Rock. An up-and-coming new actor.
Yeah, he knows his stuff when it comes to movies. In fact, really, a radio station should have him doing a film slot.
Instead of, but as well as Mark Kermode, who seems to be the only man in Britain. Who
yeah, Mark
films.
Kermode does them all. I mean, you know, he's very good and popular, but, you know, they need to be finding other movie buffs. And
Alex
I would say
McLeish
that Big X,
be the man.
Big X Film Club is something that I can imagine us tuning into.
He could do a thing where he just reviews porn films and it could be called Big X Triple X.
Yeah, no, but he's quite highbrow. He's into quite, you know, sort of credible, like, arty movies. I'm not sure how much porn he's into.
I am not interested in porn.
Are you in? I will do only one porn film a week. I will do one foreign language art house movie. I will do one mainstream movie of my choosing. And I will do one pornographic movie.
That I have acquired from the dark web.
And that is the structure of Big X Film Club. Take it or leave it, BBC Radio Scotland.
There may be an overlap where the foreign language movie has erotica within it.
Very often that is the
case.
But
that will not be regarded as my pornographic contribution for the week.
My wife does not care for pornography. Not aesthetically, but mainly it is an ethical position that she takes because she regards it as an abuse of the women involved. I respect that. However, at our age, you do need to keep the sex life alive somehow. And therefore, I will rent Art House European Cinema. Put that on. And I call that porno by the back door. She doesn't realise she's watching porno, but she is. Sometimes it is more graphic than the actual porno. And she doesn't know, and she likes it. She doesn't feel like anyone has been abused or exploited in the making of it. And it gets her, let's just say, in the mood. The French, the Spanish, the Scandinavians.
The Italians. Although the Italians are quite circumspect, I think it's because they are a Catholic country.
If you want a banker, always go French or German.
As a 58-year-old man, I have to keep the tubes clear, if you know what I mean.
I tell Mrs. McLeish, you know that a build-up of unused spunk in the tubes of a 50-something male heightens the risk of all sorts of different diseases, both cancer and also heart disease.
It can get backed up and situate itself in the lower intestine.
It can sometimes, in extreme circumstances, it can get backed all the way up to your arteries, the main arteries that lead into and out of your heart.
That's right. A man's heart can be clogged up by his own spunk if there is not a sufficient release on
that
a regular basis.
Why so many sexually inactive middle-aged men are dying every year from heart disease, stroke, and indeed heart attack.
It is the big secret of the medical industry. It's the killer they don't talk about.
Because there is a stigma about spunk heart in our culture, in Western culture, not in China. In Eastern culture, it is discussed more widely. Spunky heart. Everybody's got a spunky heart. Everybody's got a spunky heart.
God, yeah. So Alex McLeish in colour. I'll show you if you want. After we've had all that.
Oh, yeah. And by the way...
Do you want to see
it? Yeah, go on. Great. We talked recently about this era in Scottish Premier League football being, you know, in a way it was easily as good as the English First Division.
The Aberdeen kit was brilliant.
Look at that fucking badge.
The pinstripe and the white pinstripes.
The Aberdeen badge was a no fucking about badge. It looked like something from an Amstrad video game. Just a goal. The profile of a goal. A simple line and a ball in it. Goal! Ball! Ball in goal. That's our badge, because that's all we're about. Putting the ball in the back of the fucking net. None of this fucking Latin motto. None of these fucking eagles or swords or all the time shields. A ball in a fucking goal. That's all
End
this club
story.
Stands for.
Take that away from us and we're nothing. I wonder if Alex Ferguson designed that badge.
Yeah, I'm tearing up the badge. First move I made when I got in.
Every club I go to, tear up the badge.
Just draw something straightforward that doesn't distract from what we're doing on the field of play.
Ball, goal.
Bang.
Every week.
So
bang, bang, bang.
So, obviously, McLeish managed Birmingham and Villa. Mm. Bruce. Did Bruce manage Sunderland? He did, didn't he?
Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunderland and Newcastle. Yeah, is he the only bloke to have done that?
Bob Stoker didn't do it. Bob Stoker played for both clubs. To have managed both clubs, yeah, probably.
Okay, then you got George Graham and Terry Neal. Both did Spurs and Arsenal, is that right?
They did, yeah.
Now,
Rafa Benitez currently doing Everton
and Liverpool. But what no one's done, as far as I know, is Manchester United and Liverpool. Some would say the biggest rivalry of all in English football. Some would say that.
Yeah.
Now, Brendan Rodgers, if reports are to be believed, is the preferred
choice of
the powers that be at Manchester United to take over from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which can surely only be a matter of time before they get rid of him. I mean, fuck's sake, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So, but what do you think of that, mate? First of all, that's quite big, isn't it? Will he go? Because Leicester's a really good job and it's not as pressurised as Manchester United. And lastly, just interested to know your general thoughts on Brendan Rodgers, who does divide opinion.
This has turned into a football podcast now.
I just think Brendan Rodgers is extreme. This podcast, Top Flight Time Machine, came after the very famous Liverpool documentary in which Brendan Rodgers wrote down some players' names on a piece of paper and kept them in an envelope.
Yeah.
I don't know anything more about it than that because I never saw it.
Was it not? At the start of the season, he showed them three envelopes. He said, I've got three players' names written in these envelopes, and these are the three players who I think will disappoint me this season.
Why did he do that?
And then he said, make sure you're not one of these three players.
Why did he... Why? What? I don't understand what that's supposed to do to the players' minds.
Well, it's left field, out of the box, blue sky thinking, isn't it? It's different management techniques. It's what we've got with Lee Johnson at Sunderland now. He's like, someone described him the other week as a Poundland Brendan Rodgers.
Right, yeah.
Which is completely what he is. He's got all of the fucking chat, all of the management gobbledygook. But, you know, we've lost four out of the last six in the league, so...
It's really, unless, if you're a manager who's going to go down that route of being a bit fancy and strange, right? Mm-hmm. Fancy, strange manager, then the stakes are high because unless you are very successful very quickly, you are very easy to dislike. Whereas if you're more of a Harry Redknapp or even a Sam Allardyce, you're straight talking, a bit more traditional, someone who, you know, fans can on some level relate to, then that buys you a little bit more time. But if you come in, and that's the thing about Brendan Rodgers, if he goes to Manchester United, first of all, it's going to be a huge obstacle, the fact that he once managed Liverpool. And second of all, you know, if he goes into Manchester United with all his usual fucking claptrap, they're going to lose patience with him fucking quickly if they don't start winning. And if you're Manchester United manager, so you've got to start winning. There's no fucking 3-month grace period, is there? You've got to start winning all of your games in style straight away.
Yeah. Surely that Manchester United team can't be that hard to get a tune out of it, though, when you look at the personnel. You've just got to make a few tweaks and, you know, instill a bit of confidence in the defence. Surely you can get them winning more games than they'll draw.
I reckon I could fucking do it. I'd go in. Yeah. I'd hire a couple of really good coaches, like a really good defensive coach, just coach the defenders. Yeah?
Yeah. Julian Dix.
And a couple of vibes guys. And bang, Bob's your uncle. And the other thing is just pick the same team every week. Do you know what I mean? Just choose the fucking best team and just fucking pick it. And don't keep fucking changing formation and changing personnel because you're never going to get anywhere that way. But, poor old Ole will go. But if they do hire Brendan Rodgers, I think Brendan Rodgers is actually a good manager. But I think that, he'd be odds on to implode at Manchester United.
Well, I've said before, I think the time's right for him to leave Leicester now because he needs to replace the talisman that is Jamie Vardy in the next year or so. Surely. Vardy can't go on forever. And it'll either sink or swim.
I think they did. They got a lad who West Ham are after in the summer from... Salzburg, I think. Red Bull Salzburg. Right. And he looks like he's going to be good. I've forgotten his name, but he scored four in the Europa League. Three or four. One of the two. So maybe they found their long-term successor. I don't know, but
maybe they
quite a player to replace. I mean, for me, the two greatest players in Premier League history are Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy. The two greatest men in Premier League history outside of, you know, West Ham.
Okay. Right, that's enough football, Sam.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
Into the Roy of the Rovers, then. And at the beginning, it tells us what's been happening, and it says, Roy had refused to drop veteran keeper Tubby Morton, despite mounting pressure from Melchester Rovers fans and officials. Then, following an amazing offer from First Division Walford Rovers, let's remind ourselves of the offer. It was £3,000 a week for Roy.
Yeah.
£5 million transfer kitty.
Yeah, and any kids listening, in 1983, yeah. Getting £5 million transfer kitty is now like getting £200 million, I would say.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Probably the record will have been at about £1.5-2 million about then, I think.
In 1983, I think the most expensive player would have been Trevor Francis. And that was what? Was that Birmingham City to Forest?
No, that was 78, 79, that.
Yeah, no, but I think it lasted... I know, maybe Brian Robson.
Brian Robson went for 1.5.
They would have been that.
And there might have been... There was one or two others, I think, that went... Man City had a bit of a spree about
they, 80, they had 81, a player who didn't really work out, didn't they? Daly, was his name?
Yeah. 1.2, I think, something like
but
that.
But I remember when I was a kid, the record of Brian Robson stood for quite a while. Until Gazza, I think Gazza and Cotty both moved in the summer of 88 to Spurs and Everton, respectively, both for about 2.5 million. And that was
that Waddle was about the same as well, wasn't he? About the same time,
yeah.
Maybe
Waddle
two
Spurs
or
might have been
like
a season before Gazza, I think.
Because there was no money in football in the '80s. It was in a slump, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there was no
out of Europe
inflation.
Out of Europe,
yeah.
Low attendances because everyone who did go just wanted to fucking fight constantly.
Mm-hmm.
TV, it was just fucking Brian Moore doing the big match here and there. And even that, there was a fucking strike midway through the decade as well.
Yeah, everyone that went was a Trevor Brinsden, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So, yeah, 5 million kitty is
a lot.
Fucking wild.
A lot. It's like, it's like Newcastle. It's like you could buy the five best or the four best players in the top division with that kitty, if you wanted to, couldn't you?
Yeah, of course you could.
Jalapeño.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So, yeah. Amazing offer from Walford Rovers. Roy was besieged by a mob of fans led by notorious troublemaker Trevor Brinsden. And there it is. It's just a little throwback to the previous week. A group of the hardcore Melchester Ultras, if you like, with their banners that they've made themselves with their paint. Bring back the cat, one says, referring to Charlie Carter. Morton out, says another one. And as I said last week, this comes on the back of a 4-1 home win, which Tommy Morton didn't have much to do in. And they're livid that Morton's still there. So Trevor Brinsden's shouting, "Everyone knows Tommy Morton is past it, race, except you. Why don't you resign?"
Really
they're
weird.
They're shouting,
overreaction.
Race out.
Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it? And there's a copper there says, "All right, let's move it. You've had your fun." As the chanting fans dispersed, two coppers, one talks to the other. "Hope Bald Roy didn't take that demonstration too seriously." Other one says, "No, not a chance. He knows only too well that most of the Rovers fans are still solidly behind him." Well, we'll see, won't we? Oh, this is a nice punk there.
Yeah.
Next to the copper.
Really
with a
good
Mohican.
Punk.
A proper punk. Like a post-punk, almost.
Yeah.
When punks lingered into the 80s, most of them had Mohicans like that, didn't they?
Yeah. But there's a couple of my brother's mates had fucking extravagant Mohicans.
I was going to say, it's dabbling in psychobilly as well, which we've discussed before.
There was as it transitioned from post-punk to psychobilly, my brother's mate came to school one day with my brother to pick me up from primary school. And this guy, Sharm, his name was, he's dead now, unfortunately. He turned up and he was about 6'6", drain pipe, jeans, bleached, all that stuff, and a fucking massive mohawk. And I remember genuinely had a mate called Tim Bruce, his name was, and I didn't know that they were coming to pick me up. My mum would usually pick me up, and so she'd obviously had some sort of problem and sent my brother and his mate. And I remember Tim Bruce coming up to me and said, "Sir, your brother and his punky friend are here to pick you up."
Punky friend.
His punky friend.
Oh man, I've just seen a tweet that's depressed us talking about Lee Johnson at Sunderland and his big talk. There's a Twitter account called SAFC Data Analytics, and I know we don't go in for it.
I've been analysing your data
too much. They have, and this is where we're at. This is a team that really need to be getting out of League One this season. 7th for shots, 17th for crosses, 10th for touches in the opposition box, 9th for goals, 9th for XG, fuck XG, 8th for ball possession, 10th for passes, 5th for through passes, 8th for key passes, 21st for passes to the final third, 21st for progressive passes.
That's really, these are the basics, Johnson.
Yeah.
This, you've got 7th no place, though. You can't hide from stats like that.
7th for smart passes, whatever they are, 14th for progressive runs, and 8th for, get ready to be slightly aroused, deep completions.
Whoa! Yeah, I mean...
There we are.
It's just not on,
not
mate.
Not in the top 6 for anything apart from through passes. Fucking hell. All right, never mind. Back to Melchester. Yeah, there's a punk there. There's a couple of coppers. And meanwhile, Roy heads home. And he arrives home 20 minutes later. There's Penny in the window waving to him.
Hello!
He gets out of the car. Oh, thank God, an adult! Thank God! Civilised conversation. I hope he doesn't go straight to bed.
Hello, I'm not drunk. That's why I'm standing at the window. If I was really drunk, I'd be in the kitchen drinking wine, which I'm not doing. You'll find no wine here, and if you smell my breath, I don't know if you want to, it will smell just of mints.
There's a couple of frames later, she's having a cup of tea. This is all I've been drinking all day, just tea.
Perfectly adequate to quench my humble thirst.
So he's thinking as he gets out of the car, I wonder how many other people share Trevor Brinsden's opinion. Oh, Brinsden's in his head now. Oh, fuck.
He's in there rent-free.
And I wonder how Penny will react when I tell her about Rawson's offer. Oh, we're going to have a domestic episode here, I think. Harvey Rawson, it says, was the millionaire chairman of Walford Rovers. Yeah, we know that. Soon, Penny comes in with the tray with the cups of tea on. He's offered you £3,000 a week to take over at Walford. He says, plus a new house, a car, and all the money I need to buy new players. What do you think, Penny? So she's sitting there with her cup of tea, looking at the telly. And she says, I think you're worth it, Roy. But you turned him down, of course. I mean, the Rovers are your life. I wouldn't even dream of moving to another club.
Well, it's not really up to you, is it, Pen? With all due respect.
No offence. You are, let's put it this way, the housewife and the baby maker.
You will go where I fucking tell you to go. Let's be frank about this. If not, what are you going to do? You burn your ass. You've got no means of making any money. You're completely unqualified. You're unemployable.
That's not true, Roy. You know I did my city and guilds.
I used to be the secretary of Melchester. That's how we met.
That's how we met, when you started to grope me.
So he's done the head spin surprise look on his face there. He says, what? But what about me? Doesn't anyone care what I think about Rawson's offer? Well, he thinks about the money.
Look at him saying, doesn't anyone care? He's only run it past one person. He's doing that thing straight away. Fucking hell, the whole world's against me. Everyone. Every single bastard's on my back about this.
Well, Brinsden wants him to go.
I suppose so.
So, 1-1. The following Monday, Roy arrived at Melchester Stadium, and there's the, what'd you call him, the commissionaire?
Yeah.
On the door there.
Wonderful.
Got a commissionaire with his fucking nice big coat on and his peaked hat.
Do you ever look at commissionaires and wonder, what's your story, commissionaire?
Ex-military, innit? All of them?
Yeah, I mean, if you're round London, you go past a fancy hotel, right? There'll be a commissionaire stood on the door in all this get-up, right? Overcoat, hat, nice gloves. Mm-hmm. But they often are like, they seem like men of real substance, yeah?
Yeah. But do you think you and I could become commissioners?
No, I don't.
You don't have the backbone for it.
No, I would. My big problem would be I'd slouch too much. I'm a sloucher.
Yeah.
And they go, no, you have to stand fucking upright, Sam, you cunt. Plus, I just don't think we've got the gravitas that they're looking for at these fancy upmarket hotels.
No, I don't think we have either.
They don't need you going up to some, you know, there's some sort of princess who's come over from, I don't know, the princess of fucking Monaco.
Basran.
And you're like, hey, do you need some help with your bags, like? Or can you manage yourself? What? What? What is he saying? Who is this? Do you know what I mean? They're like, oh. They want... So what I'm saying is the guys have got a men of quality, yeah?
Yeah.
But Andy, what's the story? Because these are men of quality. From my experience with commissioners, they're
I'm just assuming ex-military. Because they've wearing comfortable uniforms.
The job is like not that, and I don't want to sound harsh, but it's not like that appealing, not to me. Because you do stand outside all day in the cold, quite bored. And it's not like you can start looking at your phone, right? Or you can't even have a fag or go and get a cup of tea or a coffee. You just have to fucking stand there in the cold all day. That is
Maybe ex-military who've been taken prisoner at some point and can do, you know, hard ordeal, like being held hostage. It's kind of like that, isn't it? Having to stand around outside. Right,
they might go, listen,
cunts.
To you, this looks like hell, but to me, it's freedom.
It's a walk in the park. Yeah, exactly.
For me, I'm stood here and I'm not tied to a radiator. I'm not having someone, like, electrocute my testicles. I'm not being shouted at and threatened at gunpoint. I can walk about if I really want to. If I decide to walk off at any point and go get on a bus and go home or go up the arcade, I might lose my job, yes, but I will not lose my life.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, do you think that the commissionaires get paid much?
I think that they'll get paid what you would describe as beer money, because I'm convinced they're ex-military and they're on a military pension and it's something that keeps them busy.
Yeah. And with any luck, I might get to
like
have the odd scrap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On the cobbles. Men like that are regimented and they like routine, and that kind of job fits into that, I think. And it gets them out of the house, keeps them occupied. And that's an assumption I'm making based on fuck all.
No, it makes sense. It does make sense. And they'd be like, and if anyone ever comes and gives any trouble, I'll be very polite and say, sorry, sir, you can't come into the establishment like that. You are clearly drunk. Please leave. And then he goes, no. And he goes, I'm not going to ask you again, sir. And then after the third warning, he feels justified in ushering the man just round the corner a little bit out of view and just giving him a fucking shoo-in down an
leathering.
Alley.
Yeah.
I did ask you politely, sir. I'm now going to have to beat you up quite severely using my military training.
Yeah, good. Right. Back to Melchester. So anyway, that's Arthur, it seems, the commissioner. I don't think we've encountered him before. And he says, morning, Roy. Still with us then, eh? Roy says, at the moment, Arthur.
But you didn't know that from me. Let's just say that changes are afoot.
I haven't slept all weekend.
Don't worry, Arthur. If I go, I'm thinking of bringing you with me.
Well, there's Arthur making an assumption again. He says, and always will be. Old Rawson must have been crazy to even hope that he could take you away from us.
How does fucking Arthur know about that?
Look at Roy's face as he's saying that. I'll fucking show you, you cunt.
What do you fucking know? How do you even know, you nosy cunt? If you're a fucking commissionaire.
I'd get you in a fucking headlock if you weren't ex-military.
I reckon I could still have you, because you're quite old. But it wouldn't be an easy kill, because you know what? You've probably still got a few tricks up your sleeve.
Maybe it's a little leaving gift to myself when I go.
Arthur, I bet you wish you could be in the Falklands, don't you? Me too. I would have fucking done anything for a chance to get out there and had a crack at them Argies last year.
Get among it with old boys.
I sent a note to Mrs. T. I've got a direct line into her because I am a huge donor to the Conservative Party, as I am a strong believer in her free market vision for Britain. Because I contribute so much, I am allowed to sometimes communicate directly. I said, look, anything you need, I'll happily go out there. I'll leave Blackie in charge for a couple of weeks. Give me a fucking crack at them. But it didn't work out in the end. There were too many diary clashes. By the time I managed to find a window, the war was over.
So he heads towards the dressing room. It says, other voices reached Roy as he neared the dressing rooms. And Noel Baxter is, he's saying, listen, Jimmy, if you're worried about Roy going to Walford, you can forget it. Roy began his career at Melchester, and that's where he'll finish it. And Paco Dia says, that is right. He just pine away if you go to another club, see? He pine away.
Shut up, Paco.
Duncan McKay says, you said it, Paco. And along comes Sam Barlow. And he says, ah, there you are, Roy. You'll be glad to hear that we cleared up the mystery of the walking stick.
Uh-huh.
He says, ooh. And then we get a little reminder of what it was. Someone had planted a walking stick in Tubby Morton's locker during the Rovers' previous game against Walford. Wow. He says, it was Charlie Carter's brother-in-law. What? Apparently, he did it as a sort of protest because Tubby was keeping Charlie out of the team.
Charlie's brother. I'd never do something like that for my brother-in-law. Charlie.
Charlie Carter's
brother-in-law. Charlie, it's me, Paul. What do you mean, Paulo? Susan's sister. Your fucking brother-in-law. Listen, I'm not happy about this fucking fat bastard taking your place in the team. But don't worry. Yeah. You won't be linked to it. But I've got something up my sleeve that I think is going to really change Roy's thinking. Yeah? I've managed to get hold of a walking stick. Now, if you can get me somehow access to the changing room, right, then I'll do the rest.
No, actually, no. I've already said too much, haven't I, Charlie? Just leave it to me. I'll sort it out. Don't worry.
You'll be back in the team soon enough. Trust me.
And Sam Barlow says, but now he realises that it was a stupid thing to do, eh, Charlie? Charlie Carter's... Just Charlie Carter and his haircut while he's been injured. I think he has. It's a more sleek 1983 style. And Charlie Carter says, that's right, Roy. I'd like to apologise on his behalf. He's writing letter of apology to Tubby too. So that's good. And so Sam says, so let's forget all this nonsense about walking sticks and Harvey Rawson and get back to running the club. You're still in command, Roy, as always. Roy looks livid. Roy's probably thinking, what the fuck is this? Walking sticks, brothers-in-law. Apologies letters.
This place is fucking a fucking mess.
It's insane.
I used to run a type ship and now it's just fucking bedlam. There's fucking random relatives getting into the changing room, planting walking sticks. It's fucking ludicrous.
Never mind, forget Harvey Rawson. Harvey Rawson's running a professional outfit down the road and he's offered me a shitload of money. What the fuck? So Sam Barlow and Charlie Carter walk off together and Roy says... Roy thinks, he didn't even ask me what I thought of Rawson's offer. Everyone seems to be taking it for granted that I turned him down without even thinking it over. He's feeling undervalued now, isn't he? Feeling like he's been taken advantage of, taken for granted. Moments later, Roy walks into the big pink indoor training box that they have. And he says, Taffy, you better get the players together. I've got an important announcement to make. About the future of Melchester Rovers.
Whoa. Fucking hell.
Can't believe this. But then it says at the bottom, no one can afford to miss what Roy has to say next week. In other words, you're on a three-line whip to buy this fucking next week.
Get it bought.
And there it is. Mark's at a 10 for that one. I'm giving that a 10.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, it's really hotting up fantastically. So that is it from that episode. Yeah, that's it. That's all we've got to say. We've had some pornography with Big Eck. We've had some actual football content. And we've had some Melchester. I hope you've enjoyed it. Back next week with more. Thank you. Goodbye.
And good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.